You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Trey Flynn, Colt Molesky, as always, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. And today we're going to be covering some of the recent news out of Timberwolves camp here, what they're all saying, what the reactions are kind of as they collect themselves as a team and as an organization, what's going on in that building. We're going to get to some of the Derrick Rose comments specifically because I think there's some things to glean from that specifically. And as always, we're going to be talking about upcoming games, the next stretch of about a week or 8 days or whatever the exact math is, I think will be telling for the Timberwolves and will be an interesting test for this team as they've had so many tests of where this team is going, what to expect from them headed into the next leg of this season here. And Trey, I gotta say right off the top, I like the new look right now for the Timberwolves.
Yeah, oddly enough, I did not think I'd wake up this morning feeling as hopeful as I am for Minnesota's future. Even with the next five tough games they're playing with the Thunder, Mavericks, Pelicans, 76ers, and Spurs, I still like the energy from the players today and media day after Saunders was named the new interim head coach for right now for the next 42 games at least. It feels pretty good. I like the environment. The culture seems like Carl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins are like, this is the coach I've been with since it was my rookie year, and it's the guy I'd like to stick with, even with their comments towards Thibodeau and them saying that he was a great coach. It's just nice to see that they're bought in.
Definitely. And there's a lot to unpack right now. There's a lot of Hoiberg stuff flying around the Timberwolves organization right now, and I think maybe that's better left to unpack for an entire episode. But as far as just where this team is behind Saunders, it really feels like with what they're saying about his work ethic, with how the players feel about him, we knew he was kind of a player's guy anyways, but going into this next twist in the story of the 2018-2019 Timberwolves, it feels like there's a lot of positives to draw on. There's a lot of reasons to be excited about the second half of this season for the Timberwolves, and I think going forward, it's going to be mostly focused on basketball, whereas it felt like for so many months for this Timberwolves team, it was so much more than just what was happening on the court.
Yeah, I think now we can really focus on, you're right, completely, what's going on the court. The distraction, obviously, this season was Jimmy Butler, and now that he was gone, the next distraction was, why is this team so inconsistent? And the answer that both of us have been alluding to may have just been Tom Thibodeau's lack of innovation. And what's better to innovate or to get someone in on board to innovate than a 32-year-old head coach, the youngest coach in the NBA, a coach that is younger than 42 current active NBA players? I mean, that's pretty crazy. I think he's the youngest head coach in NBA history as of right now, but definitely not the youngest coach ever. I think that goes to like some 24-year-old back in the 60s. He was a player's coach. But it's just pretty cool to see the players rallying around after one day, Ryan Saunders, especially because of his history with his dad being Flip Saunders, and also just Ryan growing up in Minnesota his whole entire life.
Well, and too, it's nice that it feels like he's going to get a real fair shake just as far as the team is getting healthy at the right time. So I think that as we kind of analyze and judge the job that he's doing, judge how this team is doing going forward, it's going to be with the full slate of what you actually have on this roster, because everybody is kind of getting healthy and falling into place at the right time here. Now is the perfect time. All right, you put this behind you, put the coaching situation behind you. You've got a guy who's just going to be for the players. You're going to try some new things, but you think hopefully because he's been around enough, he knows how to utilize and what best ways to use these players. Now they can just go forward and maybe make a nice push here in this little lull between firing your coach and the All-Star break. So this is a perfect time right now for the Timberwolves to make that push, maybe snag that eighth seed before you go into the All-Star break. I don't know, but it feels like the stars are aligning here a little bit for the Timberwolves to make some sort of postseason push here as we are starting to count down the days to the playoffs.
I mean, Colin, they really need to. If we're looking at these standings, everything's so close. I mean, Minnesota's only two games away from the eighth seed in the playoffs, but that's the Los Angeles Lakers, who are without LeBron James. And we both know when he comes back, and all the listeners know when LeBron comes back, the Lakers are going to be a force to be reckoned with. So it's going to be a really tough spot to secure. Luckily, everyone knows Minnesota's only about like one player away from really doing well and making the postseason this year. And that one player is probably just Andrew Wiggins being consistent. And Andrew Wiggins was quoted today just saying that Ryan Saunders is the only coach that's been here since his rookie year, and that there's been a lot of changes, but he trusts him and that he has a good relationship with Ryan Saunders and he's doing a great job. And mostly because Andrew Wiggins said he can talk to him. And I think it's the relationships that which you've added in the past pods is the relationships that Ryan Saunders has built with these players. It's what's going to differentiate, Andrew Wiggins from being his past self to his hopeful new self. And hopefully he can be the player that we all know that he can be.
Well, let's tug on that thread for a second there. You brought up a good point. I mean, there has been a lot of turnover for the Timberwolves. There has been a lot of change as far as coaching for the Timberwolves and for the organization. I mean, I hate to go with a negative spin here, but what if this kind of backfires? What if this is just another change that is happening in the same season for the Timberwolves, and this kind of proves to be a little too much flux over the last few years for a pretty young squad overall, and this actually goes south? Can you see some of that, or is this too much of it's lining up the right way, it feels like?
It looks like it's lining up the right way, but I mean, if we're just taking the opposite to this idea, it's just that maybe Ryan Saunders doesn't work out and his 10 years as an assistant head coach, or assistant coach rather, doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be a great head coach. That's fine. You know, I really think Minnesota more than anything needs to be confident right now, which is why I'm kind of happy. Which is weird to say, but I'm really happy with Glenn Taylor making this decision after a night of thinking about it. Just because he's telling people, listen, we have Karl-Anthony Towns. He's one of the best players in the NBA. He is one of the best players in the NBA. Like, I shouldn't have to say anything more than that. If you want to come coach with this basketball team, you're going to have to apply with everybody else. It's not just a job that you get just because we need you. He's a really good basketball player. He's a, you know, once-in-a-generation talent. I know everybody says that, but he really is. He's the future of the league, players like him. Stretch five, essentially. If you can get a guy like that, you're set.
I still feel some trepidation, though, just because it does kind of feel like he's shooting from the hip still. I mean, the way everyone is talking about this around the team, it does really feel like this was a big surprise for basically everyone. And that does make me a little worried that the next move, namely finding that next head coach, is also going to be a little from the hip. I mean, is there some worry for you there? What reasoning do we have to think that they're not going to rush the next decision because this one feels kind of rushed?
Well, I think Dan Moore of ESPN talked about this, via Twitter, but he was saying that essentially Glenn Taylor's in his 70s, or he might even be older than that. I might have misread that, but I believe he's in his 70s, and that he's looking, you know, there's been rumors that he's been looking to sell the team for a while now, for a few years at least. And he wants to, have a lot of success, you know, as soon as possible. And of course, you're right to have trepidation about this point in time, especially firing a head coach. Like, if we hire a random guy, like whether it's, you know, the ESPN analyst Chauncey Billups not the ex-Bulls head coach, but anybody besides that guy, like I'll take Billups, but I just can't see Glenn Taylor making that decision. From his quotes today, I think he's really confident with the Ryan Saunders, and more than anything, it's a feel-good story. And especially with the Timberwolves drama they've had over this past year, whether it's like Karl-Anthony Towns playing Fortnite super late or Andrew Wiggins just being kind of like a weirdo off the court, getting a young guy in the, you know, the head coach spot might just be what the future of the NBA what it's going to be for the foreseeable future. I think a great example is Brad Stevens with the Boston Celtics. Of course, Brad Stevens had a great career in college, but just getting a young coach in there to really relate to the players is a big deal more than anything right now. Like, a lot of these coaches can draw up X and O's. Like, heck, me and you could draw up X and O's and maybe even possibly coach a team down the line. But a lot of these coaches aren't able to connect with their players. And I'm really on board with the Ryan Saunders train at the moment.
Super on board to coach a team with you, Trey. I believe that's what you're getting at. And we'll work on that a little bit later. Also, you are correct, Glenn Taylor, just to stay fact-based here, 77 years old. I want to talk about some of those quotes specifically. But first, let's get to a break from some sponsors. So we were talking about the reactions that the players are having to what has just transpired over the weekend, namely Tibbs is out, Saunders is the interim head coach for right now, and specifically when we were going through media day here, this quote that stuck out to me when they asked Derrick Rose if and I don't have the question. I don't know what the specific question was, but basically they're asked, what do you say to people who don't think you can keep this up? And he said, kill yourself. And I actually really love this quote. What were your thoughts when you saw this?
It's tough. You know, especially with Derrick Rose's off the court history, he has millions of followers. He's one of the biggest role models on the planet, not just in the basketball sphere. Not just in the sports sphere, but just in general. And to make a quote like that, you know, as an athlete or a former athlete, like, I understand where he's coming from. Like, anybody that, you know, disregards his potential as a superstar or as a great player in this league just because a coach is gone, it's very disrespectful. So the quote of telling someone to kill themselves is obviously, you know, like, especially with me and you being younger, we know that just means, like, hey, you don't believe in me. That's not cool. But it's just not like I don't necessarily agree with it just because it's coming from Derrick Rose of all people. Like, I haven't said that in a long time, probably since I was like 14 or 15 years old. And like, Derrick Rose, I think maybe should know better at this point in his career. And he did apologize on Twitter. And I, you know, that's obviously great that he did that just because of his backlash. But I like it as a competitor in a sense, where I like that he's firing back at the question that just because Tom Thibodeau's gone, he's not going to be the same player or former self that he was. But, you know, I think we're a little past the way he said that. I think he could have just been like, hey, I'm former MVP. I'm, you know, second in all-star votes. I'm going to be in the backcourt with Stephen Curry. Like, I'm legit right now. I don't really need Tom Thibodeau. Just him saying kill yourself, like, I think that with his other off-the-court issues, I don't know if that was the best idea, and I have a little bit more confidence in Derrick Rose to, you know, think before he speaks sometimes.
You are a molder of minds. You are somebody who teaches the youth of America. I appreciate this reserved approach to it, and that you're advising him to take a step back, watch what you're saying, watch how you're guiding other people who are following you. I'm going to go the other way. I'm leaning into this. I love this quote because here's the thing. I feel like he is the grit and the edge on this team. You talked about how Wiggins is reserved a ton of times on the show. We know that Towns, while he is sometimes really imposing on the basketball court, not, from what we have heard multiple times, the biggest locker room presence. I really love that they have somebody who's going to add this fire. And the players love him too. I mean, I know that Butler added a fire like this, but the players really back Derrick Rose. They really love Derrick Rose, and he's really behind what the team needs for him to be on the court. And so I don't think there's any issue with the player side of this. I think they're all behind Derrick Rose in a big way, and I like that they have somebody on this team that's going to add a little fire. He's going to have some sharp edges, and he's bringing that to the team because you do need that guy if you're going to be a playoff team. You can't all be passive in the locker room. You do need a guy who's going to get in some people's faces, and he's going to add some of that edge, some of that dog, some of that coming after you and yours because you really want to be successful and you really want to reach that next level of competition. I really like this from Derrick Rose, and I'm all for it. Give us more quotes like this. Be that fiery guy. Go after people's throats. I'm 100% behind him.
I agree in the sense where it's like, every team needs a Patrick Beverley type player where they're kind of just coming at your throat all the time. They're not afraid of anybody and you can put them on the floor and they're just a dog 100% of the time. And Derrick Rose has definitely shown this year that he's that guy from Minnesota. It's such an unaware thought to have, or he just wasn't being self-aware rather as a superstar that he is around a league, even if he's not as talented as he was as MVP, to say that, you know, I just know that every time Derrick Rose is going to have a successful night, there's going to be a meme with, you know, Derrick Rose scoring a basket and it'll just be like, quote, kill yourself or something like that. And it'll have like, you know, 20,000 retweets and people are going to lose their minds. And so he's kind of done that to himself. So I guess for better or worse, he's done that to himself. But I mean, aside from that, like I am grateful to have such an athletic player and great, you know, veteran on this team as Derrick Rose. But just, you know, from a publicity stunt, Probably not the best idea. I'm sure he had some words with his manager afterwards.
Yeah, I bet the agent had some things to say. We'll see how this unfolds. We'll definitely be keeping tabs on this specifically because this, I'm sure, will come up again. We're going to take another quick break for sponsors, and then we're going to get to the next leg of Timberwolves basketball. So, the Timberwolves, looking ahead to their slate of games, over the next five games, they play either teams that are in the playoffs right now or right outside the playoffs. They're playing the Thunder on the road, then the Mavericks and the Pelicans at home, then the 76ers on the road before they come back to play the Spurs again. And the thing that stuck out to me amongst a bunch of these teams is right now, a vast majority of these teams are struggling from three-point range, or not even just struggling, but not really trying to push teams from three-point range. And this was kind of the thing, because when you look at a stretch of games that you think is going to be really difficult, you look at the common threads, right? And so you have the Pelicans. They're shooting 25, or they're taking 25 three-point attempts per game. You have the the Thunder, who are taking a substantial, you have the Spurs taking 25 three-pointers per game. The Thunder, 27 three-pointers per game. I know that the Mavericks and that the 76ers are outliers here. Both of those teams are attempting over 30 three-pointers per game. But for the majority here, these teams are going to attack the Timberwolves right where they are good at basketball, namely in the front court. They're going to go right at that paint area for the Timberwolves, and they're going to come right after Towns, right after Taj Gibson. So if I'm looking at this next stretch of games, I know I've already emphasized that Towns, I think, needs to step up here. And by the way, these stats are over the last seven games for these teams. But I know I've emphasized that Towns needs to step up here in the coming weeks. I think that's even emphasized more by the way a few of these teams are playing.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And especially because teams like the Thunder, the Mavericks, the Pelicans, and the Spurs, four of the next five teams are playing, they're all battling for that same seed that Minnesota's battling. So this is just, it's going to get really tough, Colton. It's like we got to win against the Thunder at Oklahoma City, against Dallas, the Luka Doncic-led Slovenian basketball, you know, Hall of Fame team, essentially, is what everyone's talking about with Luka Doncic, you know, luckily in Minnesota. And then the Anthony Davis-led Pelicans. We got to go to at Philly against the 76ers, against Jimmy Butler, which, don't get me started, I hope we do five podcasts that day. And then we play at home against the Spurs, who DeMar DeRozan is on a crazy trend right now upward. So these are tough games coming up, and especially like we'll stick with the Thunder for right now on Tuesday in Oklahoma City against Russ and Paul George. And it's not a good sign when Russell Westbrook probably isn't the best player on the Thunder this year, and it's Paul George. So that's gonna be a tough game. Luckily, guys like Andrew Wiggins have had really good games against the Thunder, and so hopefully we can see him stepping up. But, you know, to my own stupidity, Jeff Teague might be our lone savior on the next game. He's averaging 19 points, 60% from the field, close to 70% from three on five attempts a game, and, 11 assists over the past few games. So he's having an amazing comeback from his injury.
Well, that's the other thing I wanted to touch on, too, was that all these teams have that second guy, right? You have Westbrook and Paul George on the Thunder. You have Julius Randle to go with Anthony Davis on the Pelicans. You have Jimmy Butler or Ben Simmons to go with Joel Embiid. You have LaMarcus Aldridge to go with DeMar DeRozan. Really, the Mavericks are the outlier there. I'm not sure who their next guy is behind Luka, but for the most part, all of these teams have that second guy. So my question for you is, who is going to be the second guy over this stretch to go with Towns for the Timberwolves? Because is Derrick Rose healthy enough to be that second guy? I'm not sure.
That's what I was going to say. If it's Derrick Rose is healthy after that comment today, he better get his butt back on that court. Like, he's got to show up, right? Like, he can't just say kill yourself and not come back on the basketball court and do a great job.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be pretty embarrassing. Like, he has to step up. Like, I hope he comes back soon enough. But, I mean, the obvious answer is our, you know, $150 million man, Andrew Wiggins. Like, you know, he was quoted saying that, you know, Ryan Saunders is their new captain. You know, he's the one coach who stuck with him throughout his whole, you know, 5 years in Minnesota. I want to see him show up. I want to see Saunders use him in different plays. I don't want to see Saunders just let Jeff Teague dribble out the clock and give it to Andrew Wiggins with a second left to chuck up a three, which hurts his stats and also hurts the game. I want to see Wiggins have more of a say in this game and what goes on. And I also want to see Karl-Anthony Towns, and from the Ringer today, Kevin O'Connor said this, finally Karl-Anthony Towns can get more attempts. You know, he's averaging like 16 attempts a game. And I think Karl-Anthony Towns averaging more than 20, 22 attempts a game makes more sense. So let Towns, you know, explode and let those two guys go to work and don't just rely on hopeful Robert Covington downtown threes or a hopeful Derrick Rose fourth quarter presence. You know, you have to rely on the guys you paid big money to and also the guys you drafted so highly. So in the next few games, we have to, you know, look at Karl-Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins and be like, you're the new guys. Like, Tom Thibodeau isn't here to yell at you guys and tell you to go sit in the corner and, you know, count to 2 minutes until you're allowed to come back out and play. Like, you have to step up. You have to play. You're making big bucks.
I like it. I like the predictions, and we're going to get into predictions for the Thunder here before we head out. I think that the one thing that I'm looking at in this game is, honestly, I know Wiggins plays well against the Thunder, but Derrick Rose in that second unit against Schroeder, he should destroy that second unit of the Thunder. He should really rip into them. Maybe he's only coming in at 80%, but this first game back after the coach is gone and you have this new coach in and you have all these comments swirling around, I want to see him put up 30 points against, I think, a really a down team as far as their bench unit is concerned. I think he should take advantage of that second unit of the Thunder.
I totally agree. And luckily enough, Oklahoma City's coming off a huge L against the Washington Wizards in D.C. Or actually, it was in Oklahoma City. That was a horrible loss. Mm-hmm. And to people, listeners who aren't, you know, are unknowing of what's going on in the NBA outside of Minnesota, the Wizards are probably the, you know, the biggest laughingstock in the NBA this year. So that is a really good sign for Minnesota moving forward into this game. Essentially, if you stop Paul George in this game and you force Russell Westbrook to take shots outside of 15 to 20 feet, you're most likely going to win this game. And I totally agree with you about the Dennis Schroeder comment. If Derrick Rose is in this game and he's playing and he can show up Dennis Schroeder, they should be good too. So those are really two guys to watch out for. Like, don't let Paul George get fire from, you know, the perimeter, and don't let Schroeder come off the bench and torch your bench. And Minnesota should end up being fine.
Well, I think that's it for us today here. Make sure that you are checking out later episodes this week. We will get to half-season stuff. The mid-season mark is here, so we'll be getting to all that good mid-season stuff that every show talks about when their NBA team gets to this point. We'll also be on top of previewing games like the Mavericks and the Pelicans that are going down this weekend. That's all coming up this week on the Locked On Wolves podcast. Thank you so much for listening and tuning in to another show.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.